Welcome to today's Villeri podcast. I'm Michael Hedström. We're almost halfway through the year. The stock market has kept setting new all-time highs in 2021. The U.S. has made tremendous progress in the fight against COVID-19. The U.S. economy is growing at a rate not seen in decades, and the Federal Reserve is keeping its foot on the gas pedal despite surging inflation. With me today is Sandy Villeri, partner and portfolio manager here at Villeri & Company. He will share his thoughts on what this all means for investors and provide his perspective on the markets and our investment strategy. Sandy, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Michael.
A big part of the story since the market crashed last year has been the Federal Reserve and its unprecedented support of the markets. At the Fed meeting last week, the Fed kept interest rates near zero, while indicating that rate hikes could come sooner than previously stated. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell made no mention of tapering the Fed's massive $120 billion per month bond buying program, despite the strong economic rebound. The Fed did raise its expectation for higher inflation this year, but maintained a stance that the spike in inflation is transitory. Sandy, what does this mean for the stock market? And can you help explain why the Fed's actions affect the stock market so much?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, last week was the worst week for the S&P 500 since basically February. It did start last Wednesday when Jay Powell said he'd not only stop buying back $120 billion in Treasury and agency securities a month by the end of 2021, but he'd also consider raising interest rates twice by the end of 2023. Then as an encore, the following day, James Bullard, the St. Louis Fed president, he came out and said he thought we could see two hikes an entire year earlier by the end of 2022. Basically, if Powell had essentially started flicking the lights off and on in the room, sort of that the dovish party's over, Bullard basically came in and took all of our drinks away. The market certainly fell on the news, but in my opinion, it was just investors repositioning their portfolio around different scenarios. We did get an inflation number of 5% in May, which is incredibly high, and GDP growth will be incredibly strong near 7%. So to some extent, I think that this is an opportunity for the Fed to basically stop painting themselves in a corner and perhaps add a few arrows to the quiver and get out of this zero interest rate policy. I do think inflation is going to be more temporary in nature, just due to the economy opening up. And we can see it in lumber prices for sure. They went from something like $300 up to maybe $1,900. Now it's back to $900, basically fell 40% from its peak. It's not really a demand shock for lumber. It was really just a lack of supply, as many sawmills just couldn't open. I think supply chains have been disrupted in many industries, and this is going to be really more temporary. We think the market is fine. We have to take a step back to realize why the Fed is considering raising rates. It's really because the consumer is as healthy as ever. The economy is growing rapidly, and we really don't need to have rates near zero at sort of those pandemic crisis levels.
While inflation concerns have dominated the markets in recent weeks, strong corporate earnings above expectations and the reopening of the economy have helped the markets reach all-time highs. What is your outlook for corporate profits and earnings, and what is the overall impact on the stock market?
So we think earnings are really going to be at record levels. Companies have cut costs to navigate through this pandemic, but now we're seeing revenue tick back up with such a healthy consumer, and this is going to show up in corporate earnings. We're very bottoms-up oriented and really much more different than macro-driven. We're really more top-down. If you get into sort of a specific stock or a specific company, we watched Caesars Entertainment cut costs dramatically. They eliminated 52 buffets, for example, that lost about $3 million a year. So that saves them like $150 million a year. And those costs aren't coming back. They're not bringing those buffets back. And now the consumer is so healthy and ready to get out and travel and gamble and spend money. So revenue is going to be back where it was, but the ongoing cost structures are lower. Companies have learned to do more with less. At the end of the day, I think stocks will follow earnings. And I think that's going to ultimately lead to the market going higher. So we're pretty positive in general.
Let's shift to fixed income. Bond yields have fallen in recent months, despite significant changes in economic data, higher inflation, and uncertainty about the direction of monetary and fiscal policies. What are your thoughts on bond yields and the fixed income market?
Well, we really frankly believe that investing in bonds right now is not a great way to make money. We think it's synonymous with sort of picking up a penny in front of a steamroller. In other words, there's really not a lot of return, but the risk levels are pretty high. It's been pretty amazing, frankly, to watch the 10-year react to Powell saying he's going to raise rates. The 10-year jumped from about 1.45% up to 155, but now it's settled down at about a 149. The shorter end of the curve, really looking at like sort of the 2-year treasuries, really rallied. So you end up being a big trade to flatten the yield curve. It doesn't make a lot of sense that the 10-year yields have fallen when the Fed says they're about to tighten. The market essentially doesn't believe that the Fed can raise rates as fast as they've indicated.
The ultra-easy monetary policy by the Fed and other major central banks around the world has led to an everything rally, and what some argue has encouraged increased risk-taking by investors and an everything asset price bubble. Stocks, bonds, commodities, the housing market, the so-called meme stocks, and cryptocurrencies, despite the recent decline, all seem very frothy. Do you think we're in a bubble, and should investors be concerned?
Yeah, and there's a lot in there, but let me try to take a few at a time. I think there's certainly speculative pockets, and I think there could definitely be a bubble in cryptocurrencies. I frankly don't understand the intrinsic value of crypto. I mean, essentially, what is it worth? I have a very hard time buying it over 50,000. I've listened to crypto bulls, and they'll talk about how there's only a finite supply of coins, right? There's 21 million. However, what about Dogecoin or Ethereum or whatever the next coin may be? Maybe a coin that doesn't use the energy of crypto. And even look at China recently, they're cracking down on crypto trading, and that sent it below 32,000. I mean, it wiped out a tremendous amount of value. I would not really want to have a company that's storing their profits on their balance sheet in crypto. You saw Tesla do that over the short run. I want to invest in a company that makes a certain widget. I don't want to worry about the price of crypto impacting the balance sheet of what I'm invested in. And I don't think I'm alone in that assessment. So a bull case could certainly be that all companies, you know, you look at all the Fortune 500 companies, maybe they'll put some percentage of their balance sheet in crypto. I just think there'll be a major pushback from investors on that. When you start to look at some of these meme stocks, I would certainly tell investors to completely steer clear. And for those listening that haven't been following these meme stocks, there's a social media platform called Reddit where the retail investors try to target heavily shorted stocks. That's stocks that usually have very poor outlooks, and hedge funds and large institutional investors make a bet that these stocks will decrease in value by shorting them. The problem when you short a stock, something that we really don't do here at Villar & Company, is that each shorted share is a borrowed share. And so it has to be bought back. Essentially, it's an open buy ticket. So these Reddit readers target those most heavily shorted stocks and all buy at the same time, forcing hedge funds and others to cover their positions, and therefore they have to buy them back, and it pushes the prices even higher. There's even an acronym called bang stocks, which is really BlackBerry, AMC, Nokia, GameStop. We just think these stocks with poor fundamentals should be avoided. Ultimately, they're going to come back down. Usually fundamentals matter at the end of the day. And so we would really urge people to stay away from those types of, pockets, or I'd say just bubbles in the market.
As you look ahead, what are some other risks to the market?
I think some risk could be that the Fed raises rates in a way that maybe doesn't completely throw a cold towel on the market. They just got to have that perfect balance to sort of take this inflation rate that, again, I think is temporary, but a 5% rate in May and try to get it closer to their target around 2%. Essentially, that we have a soft landing as we reopen and sort of come out of these pandemic lows. I mean, there's always something we don't know about, some kind of black swan, and maybe those are the things that they keep me up at night, but I don't even know what they were. I mean, it could be something like a hack of the internet or the power grid or something like that. But as far as risk, like the Fed becoming too hawkish, that is just, in my opinion, already really priced into the bond market. And frankly, not a bad thing. I mean, we're only raising rates. The Fed is only really raising rates right now because the economy is so strong and the economy is so healthy. So I'm pretty good with where we are now.
Villar's investment philosophy is built on the core belief that growth should be achieved at a reasonable price. Where do you find good values and stocks that are attractive given the strong market rally?
We are very stock specific. We are bottoms up oriented. We're always looking for growth at a reasonable price. If we can find good companies that are growing, say 18 to 20%, and we can buy those companies at earnings multiples less than those growth rates, we believe over time, as their businesses are proven out, they'll demand a higher multiple on those earnings, and that multiple expansion is what will move stocks higher. So that's really our focus, is just on those good, solid names that are not overpriced by the market. And certainly that means we would be avoiding sort of the larger cap technology space that we think, you know, not only is a little bit overpriced, but also maybe wouldn't act so well in a rising interest rate scenario.
Since the lows in March of last year, we've seen shifting market leadership between growth and value, small cap and large cap. Back to kind of where you're finding good values, where are you looking for attractive values in the market at this time?
We do believe that there are some pockets that are very overvalued in the market, and we think there's areas that are underrepresented and a lot cheaper. And certainly I'd say that in the financials and possibly energy are certainly areas that have been overlooked by the market. And we've certainly had people say this market looks expensive, but I think when they're looking at that, they could be looking at, you know, sort of the larger cap technology stocks that traded very rich multiples, and we would sort of be avoiding that. And when you go back to other peaks in the market, I certainly remember 1998 and 1999, where you had growth outperform dramatically for 2 years. And then you flash forward to really 2000 through probably 2006, seven, you saw value outperform as growth really came into more, you know, reasonable prices. And I think we're seeing the same thing now, where you had the last several years where growth just absolutely outperformed. And I think we're going to be in for as many as 4, 5, 6 years where it's going to be value's turn. And we've already seen that in 2021, where value's already dramatically outperformed growth. And I think that could continue.
Given that backdrop, how are you positioning the portfolios for the rest of the year?
So we're really looking for stocks that are more tied to the reopening of the economy. We do have a little bit of cash, and we look forward to putting that to work in very specific stocks. We do prefer smaller and mid-sized businesses and believe at some point rates will go higher, and it should, again, pressure some of those larger cap tech stocks. And we think we can find value in things like financials, where they can finally get some net interest margin expansion with a little bit of a higher interest rate. So we do believe there's also going to be opportunities in some of these cyclicals. And just recently, even in the past week, we've seen things that are tied to, let's call it, the slowing of the economy, because, you know, if the Fed's going to indicate they're going to be raising rates, then some of the names like cyclicals or maybe materials that are tied to the economy that may slow down, we think as those have come in, those could be great opportunities to add. So we want to buy those high quality names on pullbacks and position the portfolio that way.
Sandy, any final words to our listeners?
I think investors should continue to stay invested. It seems like there's always a reason why it's not a good time to invest, or somebody wants to try to time the market to try to get out. We think that when investors believe that the market's run a little bit too far, too fast, yeah, it's true. There are expensive parts of the market, but there's also cheaper parts of the market. And so we're going to continue to find that value, and we're going to continue to dig through and talk to our research counterparties and find basically diamonds in the rough. We want to find these names that have been overlooked. And again, while there are expensive parts of the market, we're going to avoid those parts and try to find value for customers. And I think staying invested over the long run and trying not to time the market one way or the other is going to be a successful strategy for people over the long term.
Thanks, Sandy. That's a good reminder for any investor, not trying to time the market. As always, we appreciate your insight and perspective.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks also to all of you who tuned in and listened to this podcast. If you have any questions and for more information and insight from Villery & Company, please visit our website at villery.com or call us at 504-525-0808. This concludes our podcast. Have a great day.